Welcome to this week's podcast from the teaching team at Beacon Church. For more information about our church, please visit beaconchurch.com.au. We hope you enjoy the message.
Thanks, Josiah. Thanks, band. How are we, 10 a.m.? Some of you, they're awake. They're awake. Who slept through your alarm this morning? Who was going to come to the 8 and then went, let's just go to the 10? Like, how good is it having a church with two services? Let's get lazy, 10 a.m., right? If we had a midday, some of you go, let's go to the midday. Like, just how it is. This morning was the first time this year where our alarm went off multiple times and Beck woke, like, kind of went, oh, you need to get up and put on the heater. And I'm like, okay, it's winter as I run, you know, it's just coming around. Hey, but it's good. I like the cold weather. It's nice. And can I just say, for the men for the camping trip, just sign up and come. If you don't have any camping gear, sleep in your car. I mean, it's pretty bogan, but whatever. I mean, we had some guys rock up. Yeah, people was like, yeah, why not? We had a guy rock up last year. He rocked up with a bag of chips. He was already eating his chips, and he said, this is all I got for food. I said, did you read anything about what you have to bring everything? He said, I don't have anything. I said, well, there's shops down the road. He took off for about 2 hours, comes back, and I said, did you get stuff? He goes, I couldn't find it. I said, what are you drove around for 2 hours? You couldn't find the shops. Yeah, I couldn't find it. And I said, so what are you going to do for the rest of the weekend? He goes, well, I've got this bag of chips. And, you know, so that's men's camp right there. And, believing by faith, you'll survive. Okay. So make sure you sign up to that. I was fortunate. I actually bunked in with one of the guys at, church here, Stewie Kemp. He's got the Taj Mahal of all caravans. And, I actually thought I was going to be one of 8 in the caravan. And when we got there, it was just me and Stu. And I was just like, look at all the plebs out there in their tents. You know, so anyway, I had a great time. And if you need a bed, there's plenty more beds in the Taj Mahal. But anyway, so lots going on in the church. And it is so great to get into this series. I got to tell you, I'm going to put it down the line here. I believe wholeheartedly God wants me to preach this message. Now, the reason I know that God wants me to preach this message is because this week I have been under so much physical attack, spiritual attack, that I just wholeheartedly know that Satan doesn't want me here, okay? Even in the last service, in the 8 a.m., minutes before I got up, I just got struck by the most excruciating pain through my entire body that I have not felt in like forever. And the whole entire time I was preaching, I was just in excruciating agony. And after an incredible prayer team got around me, and in that prayer moment, that pain just broke off. And I believe wholeheartedly when you start speaking out truth, and you start declaring things that are in the supernatural space, Satan doesn't like it. And over the next 4 weeks, I've actually called, I don't normally have titles for series or anything like that. We just did the book of Acts. But I feel like God wanted me to give this a title. The next 4 weeks is called Taking Ground. Taking ground. Moving forward. Not staying stagnant. Not just being the same person you've always been, but actually moving forward in the things of God. And this is connected to our legacy series. If you're new to our church, what we do once a year, we don't talk about money a lot. And so I'm going to tell you straight, I actually really love talking about money because before being a pastor, I've always been a business guy. I've had a business for the last 12 years and I love money, not because of loving money. I love what money can do for the kingdom. I love how blessing and generosity can completely shift and transform communities. You know, generosity can change lives. Everywhere you sow a seed of generosity, you can change your life. I've seen miracles poured out by simply sponsoring a child in another country. I sponsored a kid when I was 19. I was 19. He was 6, sorry. He's now 23, calls me his dad. His name's Aradakunda Prosper. He's got a double degree at university and there's a miracle on his life and he is writing code writing microfinancing in the slums of Africa right now because someone at the age of 19 gave up some resource. And I believe wholeheartedly that each and every person has the ability to bring miracles on earth. And often those miracles are in your back pocket. People go, well, what sort of miracle have you seen in your life as? Well, I'll tell you now, every time it comes down to releasing some finance for God's kingdom, miracles happen. And when we talk about legacy, we do this, as I said, once a year. It's going to be a 4-week series. And on the 4th week, we're going to have Legacy Sunday. And on Legacy Sunday, I believe it's going to be a miracle Sunday in the life of our church. I'm believing not just for miracles, for breakthrough in our church, but breakthroughs in your life. When you actually release what God has given to you, you let it go, it cracks open something over your life, cracks open heaven, because you're letting go of the thing that could actually be your number one. Can I tell you the amount of times I've met people in my life, the number one God is their money. It holds them captive. But when you see someone free with their money, my gosh, they are unstoppable. Absolutely unstoppable. And today we're going to be talking about taking ground, because over the last 2 years, we've talked about the future of this church and having our own building, having our own home, having land that we own in this community that no one can take from us for generation to come. I'm not talking about let's get a building so Az has a building. I'm the pastor of this church. I'm talking about let's get a building so 3 or 4 pastors down the line, generation to come, will have a place where Jesus is magnified. Jesus is preached, proclaimed, the resurrected Christ, the hope of the world. I'm in a place where I'm like, you know what, God, you've asked me to pour out time and time and time again, and I just want some people to come with me. I want to see this church a place where we go, we're going for it. The last couple of years, I got to tell you, it's been an interesting journey for me as your pastor. If you're only new to the church, you might not even know my background, but yeah, business is what I've done for a decade. 2020, we got asked to pastor this church. We came in at the end of 2020, in May of 2021. We got set apart as the pastors of this church. 1 week later, we launched our first legacy campaign. Like a week in, hey, we need your money. Like, that's just like suicide, right? Because people have all these perceptions of church wants your money. No, God wants your heart. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is also. Unfortunately, most of our hearts are bound by money and the fear of not having enough. And so our first campaign, remember going in and being apprehensive because I was like, well, what does this church often give? Have we given before? When we came in, there was $0 set apart for a building. There was no account. The church had been here for 24 years. Now, I'm not saying that there's, you know, I'm not saying anything negative about the past. I'm just saying that we just needed some fresh vision. That's all. And so we're like, we're going to start somewhere, right? You know, anyone ever had to save for a deposit for a house? The first $100 you put in your account? You go, it's only $100. That ain't going to get me far. But over time, you know what it's like to put aside and get ready. And then when you purchase your first house or whatever, you're like, we did it. And that's effectively what the first year was all about. There was a lot of things going on here. And I got to be honest, that first week that we did that, that first weekend, I was pretty bright-eyed and fired up. I'm like, we're going to get a church in 2 years' time. I said that to you. Some of you keep telling me that. So as it's 2 years today, where's our church? And I'm like, oh gosh, how good is God with humility and humbling us? Like, but I want to tell you what's happened, because I believe that over the last 2 years, we've taken some incredible ground. You have done some incredible things, and it's just the foundation of where God is taking this church. You got to start with a small, you know, God talks about it constantly in the scriptures. You know, if you're faithful with the little, you can be faithful with the much, right? You know, use the talent that God's given you. He'll multiply it. And that's what we've been doing over the last 2 years. I want to give you a bit of an update on where we're at with as a church. I believe wholeheartedly over this next 4 weeks, God's going to teach us things through the scripture. as we look at the Israelites, as they left Egypt, they were on their way to the promised land. We can learn so much about those promises as well. But I just want to quickly just sort of give a bit of an update, first and foremost, about where we're at. In that first, we've got some graphs up here. I want to show you some things that you as the church have done that have blown me away. And I believe these are miracles that unfolded before our very eyes. In 2021, I said to you guys, we want to raise $100,000. And I also said that $100,000 is going to upgrade a bunch of equipment in this church that needs upgrading. We had a sound desk that was falling apart, being held together by gaffer tape. And there was about $80,000 worth of work there that needed to be done. And I said, look, if we raise $100,000, we're going to start just putting aside whatever's left into a building fund. And it was incredible because in that first year, you guys pledged close to $250,000. As a result of that first year, about $220,000 came in. That is incredible. You should give yourself a round of applause. Like, it's incredible. Like, you cannot understand how amazing this is. Historically, it's never happened in this church. Nothing ever went over 100,000. So when that happened, that was just like, God, you're doing something, right? Like, you are doing something. Last year, as I sought God, I said, God, we're here again. It's only been 12 months. You know, it's sort of one of those things is that every year I do this series for Beck and I go, oh my gosh, that means he's stretching us again. Oh my gosh. What are you going to ask us, God? What do you want of us? You know, right? And so last year, felt God say, you need to triple the ask as. And so I said, look, we want to raise another $300,000. And $380,000 was pledged, which is amazing. $380,000 was pledged. I do want to highlight right now, we are sitting at about $295,000 come in. And there's actually quite a few of you I know that have pledged that haven't come through with your pledges. And I just want to challenge you in the next 3 to 4 weeks before we get into this next year. If God's stirring you to go, actually, I want you to come through on what you pledged, please just do that. You know, allow God to show up. And I understand the sacrifice. Man, the amount of times I've seen in my own life, God requires a sacrifice before the breakthrough. We talked about Jehovah Jireh last year. I mean, that whole story of sacrificing, you know, Isaac, you know, it's like, you know, like the reality is you have to make the sacrifice before the breakthrough. Right? And that's the faith element, okay? And that's the scary stuff. But so here we are right now. If you go to the next slide, that's what came in over 2021, came in about 240. And then we're at right now, so close to that $300,000 mark. This next slide here also just shows a bit of a breakdown because you've got to understand some of the generosity that's come in from the church hasn't actually been able to get put towards the building fund. And we'll say this again, when it comes to getting a building for this church, we cannot do tax deductibility. Unfortunately, Australian government, that you can't write that off on a building. So that's where it becomes real faith. You know what I mean? It's like, not only do I not get anything back from the government, but I'm also sowing into something. So that's always really, really challenging faith. So there's those grades, about $80,000 has come in tax deductibility stuff, so which you can't put towards the building. And then finally, this is where we're at. We are about $2,000 off $400,000. And yeah, it's incredible. Now, I go, God, you're so hilarious. You said $100,000 for the building. You provided all the extra upgrades. You put $100,000 in the first year. You said triple it, $300,000. Yes, the pledges were much higher, but here we are, $400,000. Everything that's been asked for has been received. God, you are on the move. You are on the move. And so today, I want to challenge us on where we're heading. The land of milk and honey, the promised land. What does the land of milk and honey look like for Beacon Church? What does it look like? Where are we going? Don't say to Manly or another suburb. No. You know, we're staying in this community. You know, it's sort of one of those things that I believe wholeheartedly that God has placed us here for a reason. And I believe, you know, when it comes to the land of milk and honey for the Israelites, that's what they believe was the biggest promise. What do I see for our church? I mean, I've shared a bit of vision, but I really see the more I process, the more I dream about what we are as a community and as a building. It's not about the building. It's about the activity that happens within the building that blesses the community. It completely blesses the community. I want our church to be so wholeheartedly teaching the gospel of Jesus. Like, Jesus died on a cross 3 days later, rose from the dead, still alive today. He can change your life, completely resurrect your life. And we're going to keep speaking that truth. Our vision is guiding people home. Yes, guiding people home to a home-like base, a building where people feel like they have family, but there is an eternal home that is the final destination. That's what our heart is. We want to guide people to Jesus. We want to guide them to their reality of what life is all about. But in amongst that, I can see so much joy and fun. I see a play center connected to our new building. See mums and bubs just coming like from all over the place, wanting to be in this place that's full of joy. A cafe that's running around the clock. Not only that, double down with a commercial kitchen that's being used to cook meals for our Made with Love ministry that keeps on expanding because the need is so great in our community. As finances get tough, people start looking for help. And where do they turn? I tell you, the church. It's the hope of the world. And we want to be a functional church, a church that is here for our community. At the moment, we don't even have a kitchen. We have a sink. A few months ago, I had to get a plumber out to fix the sink. He opened it all up and he said, I found some old candles jammed in your sink. We didn't even have a functional sink. I believe it for a kitchen. With ovens and fridges and freezers. Deep fryers for youth. From now on, all I'm talking about is deep fry. But I see this church just being such a blessing. I mean, I love our church. You know, last week at Mother's Day, my own mother-in-law came here and she had been raving about it all week. She's been talking about it all week. The next on Monday, she said, I just can't get over the joy that was in that place. She said to me, as I don't know if I'm ready to join a church yet, but when I get home, I think I'd like to help in some kind of community. And I'm like, yeah, you want Jesus. But this is the thing. She's coming in and she's seeing all the catering and the guys. But you know what? It's crazy. When we cater, last week we had over 1,500 cakes go out the door, little slices and stuff. But can I tell you, talk to Leanne von Ruin. She had 4 fridges loaded up at home and at work. We had 2 fridges at my house loaded up. And we were all dragging them in, drinks and 50 liters of this and that. And this is what happens when you don't have a kitchen. You just go, well, that was great. See ya. We're all like, oh my gosh. But I see a church that's functioning, fully functioning. Not just like when it comes to Mother's Day, when I'm not waking up in the morning and going, oh my gosh, if it rains today, we have nowhere for people to go. We actually have a space for people to make sure no matter the, you know, the whatever the weather, they can come and be able to enjoy church. I see incredible youth rooms, kids rooms. I don't just see like a, let's just get the youth hanging out in the car park. Hopefully they don't get run over. You know what I mean? Like, I see an actual space. Prayer rooms for miracles to occur. Doors open 24/7 so people who are seeking God don't rock up and go, oh, that church is shut. But instead, no, it's ablaze with joy and the Holy Spirit. People's lives are being transformed every moment. People want to hang out here. That's what I see. I see an auditorium, 550 plus in seats, full twice, 3 times a week, hearing the gospel. That's what I see. The light of Jesus shining. It's a promised land for me. All right. You just heard Friar, man. You say, I'm in. The reality is that this dream, the promise, has been in the hearts of many of this church for well over 2 decades. You've heard, you know it. You see it. And today, I want to talk about taking further ground and how we take ground in the things of God. And the things to look out for when we're in a moment where we've kind of come out of Egypt, we've crossed the Red Sea, we're now in the desert, We've got $400,000, but we also know there's a long way to go. And we're trusting God along the journey, but what do we do and how do we function in this space? How do we take ground and not miss out on the promises God has for us? I just want to put you at ease real quick. We're not asking for money today, okay? If you came here today and went, I got to get out. Somebody dim the lights. We're not asking for money today. But I will say this. If God's stirring your heart, say yes to whatever he says. Because he wants to see an obedient church just step out in faith. I wholeheartedly believe it. Today we're going to look at a message, a passage of scripture that I think is so powerful when it comes to these sort of seasons. As I said, we've come so far. Every dollar that's been given towards our building fund, I can assure you, not one cent has been spent outside of what we said we'd do. We will steward that finance until we walk into that promise. We will not spend a cent on things we did not say we would spend it on. We haven't so far and we will not because we believe that God honors trustworthy lips. Taking ground. My first message of this series is about your words. Did you know your words matter? Your words matter more than you think. What comes from your lips matter more than you think. For some of you, you're natural encouragers. You like to see the good things in life. You're positive. When you're in someone's world, you know, you're trying to speak life everywhere you go. Some of you, however, like to gravitate towards the woe is me. Woe is the world. And you have a lot of negative things to say or reasons to complain. Now, we're all susceptible to choose one or the other, right? And we actually have to make a daily choice to choose what we allow to come out of our mouth. We have to take control of our mouth and the words that we speak. The scriptures have a lot to say about what you say. Proverbs 18 says, from the fruit of their mouth, a person's stomach is filled. With the harvest of their lips, they are satisfied. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Jesus talks to the Pharisees, calls them out on their negative speech in Matthew 12:34, and he says this, you brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that everyone will have to give account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Can I just stop there? I'm just going to say that again. By your words you will be acquitted, you will be set free, and by your words you will be condemned or imprisoned. I don't know about you. I want to be free. I don't want to be condemned. I want to make sure the words that come out of my mouth are full of life. I want to be an encourager. I want to be someone that when I come into someone's, you know, presence, that they walk away better because of the conversation that I had with them. They're not downcast, downtrodden, went, well, I might as well quit. But we all have the power to bring life or death. And the reality is when Moses had 2 million Israelites in the desert, they went through time and time again, moments of grumbling, complaining, God coming through, and then they grumbled and complained, then God came through, and then after many years in the desert, they finally get to the point of seeing the promise that God has for them. They can see it with their very eyes, the land of Canaan. They can see it. And this is what we're going to pick up in Numbers 13. I want to read this. It says this. The Lord said to Moses, you can read this in your Bible up on the screen, send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. Can I just point out there, first and foremost, God goes, I'm giving it to them. It's a done deal. First thing. Now, when it comes to the promises of God, you either believe it or you don't. And I believe that God has promised this house, this home, a home. I believe that God has a home for this community. I believe it's been a promise that's been prophesied for decades. And I believe that God, in his right timing, will come through, show up and show off. And we are just getting ready for it. So the Lord command, so at the Lord's command, Moses sent out from the desert of Paran, all of them who are leaders of the Israelites. Goes through the names of all the different tribes. He has 12 different men. They go out to spy on the land. It says in verse 16, these are the names of the men Moses sent to explore the land, etc. He sends them to Canaan. And verse 17, right through down to 19, he says, hey, I want you to scope everything out in the land. He's like, I want you to figure out if the soil's good. What are the cities like? Are they fortified walls, or we can just go straight in and take them? I mean, what sort of men are in that land? Are they big? Are they huge? Are they great warriors? Go and figure this out. Says in 21, they explored the land from the desert of Zin. And they go on a little bit further on in 23, they end up in this valley of Eshkol. And it says they cut off a branch bearing a single cluster of grapes. Two of them carried it on a pole between them. That's some big grapes. Or really small men, I don't know. This is how big the grapes are. The grape harvest has just begun, it says in the scripture. And they have to have two men carry one cluster of grapes. It says at the end of the 40 days, they return from exploring the land. And this is where they come down to reporting back to Moses. It says this in verse 26. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community to Kadesh, in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. So they're like, man, Moses, everything that's been promised, everything we know about the promises ahead of us, it's all there. And you think, wow, this is great. Game on, right? But then they go on. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. By the way, the descendants of Anak, they say Goliath was a descendant of Anak. This is the giants. The Amalekites live in the Negev. The Hittites, the Jebusites, Amorites live in the hill country. And the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. So they start to speak negatively. Even though the promise is there and everything they've been believing for is there, they start going, but you know what? It's also really bad. Because it's really hard. And we're actually going to have to fight for it. And I thought God was just giving it to us. Interesting, hey. Beacon, you're going to have to get ready for a fight. God's going to give us our land, but it's not going to not cost you something. It's going to come at sacrifice. It's not like, oh, we're going to win the lotto. No. We're going to work really hard. And like we've done for the last 2 years. But I believe wholeheartedly, God's like, but I'm with you. And this is the crazy thing. In this moment of negativity, it says, then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. All of a sudden, you've got people speaking death, and then Caleb's like, we can do it. Don't listen to the naysayers. If God's for us, and he's said it, and he's promised, let's go get it. But unfortunately, this is what happens. But the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack those people. They're stronger than we are. And they spread amongst the Israelites a bad report about the land they explored. The negativity. The naysayers, oh, it's impossible. How could we possibly do this? They said the land we explored devours those living in it. Oh my gosh, they're spreading fear. All the people we saw there were of great size. We saw the Nephilim there, the descendants of Anak. We seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we look the same to them. Negative speech starts to spread. And people forget the promises of God because of the fear of man. That night, all the members of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, "If only we had died in Egypt or in this wilderness, why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and our children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt?" And they said to each other, "We should choose a leader and go back to Egypt." How insane is that? Let's go back to being slaves instead of trusting the promises of God. But that's what fear can do. And that's what negative talk can do. Then Moses and Aaron fell face down in front of the whole Israelite assembly gathered there. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, "The land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against us, against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them." Can you see the tension? Those with faith and those without faith. But the whole assembly talked about stoning them. Then the glory of the Lord appeared at the tent of meeting to all the Israelites. The Lord said to Moses, this is God himself. Remember, the Lord would come down in a cloud. He would speak to Moses like a man face to face. The glory of the Lord comes down. This is what God says. He says to Moses, "How long will these people treat me with contempt? How long will they refuse to believe in me in spite of all the signs I have performed amongst them?" He says, "I will strike them down with a plague and destroy them, but I will make you into a nation greater and stronger than they are." If you want to go read this a little bit further on, pretty much God says, I can only give them a promise if they're going to believe in me. Pretty much that's what he's saying. I promised them the land. I've shown them miracle after miracle after miracle. I got them over the Red Sea. I got them out of Egypt. They saw the plagues. They've seen the provision from heaven with manna every day. They've had provision of quail. When they were thirsty and thought they were going to die, I cracked open a rock and poured it out, provided water for the people. I have been here day in, day out, provided miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle, but they continuously decide to not believe in me. As a result, God says, the 10 spies that brought a negative word, they will never see the promises that I have for them. Can you believe that? He says in verse 24, "But because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it." It might be hard for you to comprehend right now, but your words matter. What you speak, life or death, into the situation of where this church goes matters. And I believe those that believe the promises that God has for this community, you will be there on the day when we step into the promised land. This week, I'm like, God, just give me two good men. They were like, yeah, let's go after it. Let's go after something. Let's go after some land. I'm going to tell you something right now as we go into this four-week series. I believe wholeheartedly that God could do an absolute miracle in this 4 weeks. I want to tell you about a building. It's being built 400 meters down the road. It's right next to the 7-Eleven. Here's some really crazy things. The last 2 years we've been scoping land. That block of land next to 7-Eleven, I found out was up for sale. And I was like, that would be perfect. The block of land went for $7.5 million to a developer. Okay, cool. There's a block of land just out the back of our building. I was like, that'd be cool. And that was $20 million. Cool. There's a block of land in Thornlands we looked at. We thought we were onto a winner there, but we found out there was no sewage there. And apparently it cost hundreds of thousands of dollars to move poo. So, wasn't for us. Last year I sat and talked to our landlord, you know. Said, we really want to buy land. We want to buy our own building. And he looked at me, and I've told this before, but I'll keep sharing it because there's enough mongrel in me to remember it, because I can't wait to show him what God's going to do. And I said, we want to buy a building. He kept saying, why do you want to buy a building? Just rent. It's cheaper. And I just said to him, mate, would you ever say that to your kids? Like, just rent until you die. Don't leave a legacy for your kids. Like, legacy is actually about future generations. It's not about Beck and I as your pastors. It's about, like, in 100 years time, people go, oh yeah, that church just down the road, that was because a group of people were faithful. And they saw that there needed to be a church in this community for generation to generation, for the hundreds of thousands that would come to the knowing salvation of Jesus Christ. And they sacrificed, and they were the ones that laid the foundation, and we get to sit in the blessing of what they did for us and our grandkids. And I said this to him, I said, he goes, you'll never get a place with enough car parks anyway. And gave me all the reasons why we couldn't. He said, where are you going to find anything around here with enough car parks? You just won't. And I'm like, my God's pretty big. And I remember walking out and I was like, God, please show up and show off. I'm pretty sick and tired of having to put up with a Pharaoh landlord. Tells me, no, you're not going anywhere. Because you're stuck. Well, turns out that I was driving past a few months ago and I saw that there was going to be on the front, which is really interesting because industrial estates, they can have churches, right? But this industrial estate, all the industrial stuff's out the back and there's a showroom out the front. And I called up and I said, look, would you sell it to us? Oh, we're not really looking to sell. Would you sell it to us? And they said, yes. I said, we'll sell it to you. We'll build it. 4,000 square meters. Close to about 100 car parks. Double the space we have right now with mezzanine floor and space for offices. And I said, okay. And they sent me a quote. $12 million. Here's the thing. Some of you just went $12 million and you died inside. But for some of you, you just went game on. And guess what? I need the game on people. I need the spies to go, God, you can do it. Now here's the thing. We have a window of opportunity for that building. It's going to be built. Apparently it was supposed to be starting to be built in March. They're still delayed. We probably need to lease this building for another 2 years while that's being built. Fact is, they're building it. It's costing nothing to us for them to build it. You might be going, well, what does it look like? Well, commercial property to purchase, you need 30%. And so we're probably looking at, you need $3 million. And I'm like, we got 400,000. God, like, there's a big. And I just know that all we have to do is bring our best. All we have to do is bring our best. Like, you know, I'm not the person that's going to do it all, but each and every person in this room, some of you have the capacity to write $1 million checks. You do. Some of you freak out at the $10, and that's okay too. It's not the equal amount, it's the equal sacrifice in your heart. You know what's really blessed me in the last 12 months with our legacy giving so far? Some of our young adult community, I've seen some of our young adult community make huge sacrifice. It's almost brought me to tears. Some of our teenagers, like, I'm talking like teenagers, I go, God, you've got their heart. That's beautiful. Just give me more of those. You know, that's what, you know, it might take us longer. I mean, I can imagine Moses when he got them over the Red Sea, he would have been like, we've got out of Egypt. Surely it's a year and we're going to be in the promised land. And he just kept doing God's work. And 40 years later, like crazy. Talk about humbling him as a leader. I'm like, Lord, don't do that to me, please. The reality is there's a window of opportunity potentially for that building. That's a window. If that window closes, God will open another one. The reality is I'm letting you know right now it's available. You can do what you want with that. Okay? Pray into it. There's an opportunity. I just love the fact that it's 400 meters away. I'd love to be able to go to our landlord and say, look what God did. The reality is sometimes we have to think bigger and dream bigger. And I'm going to say this right now. I was convicted for my small thinking on my previous holiday. I spent some time in Singapore. I went to Joseph Prince's church. If you've ever read any of his books, he's a phenomenal writer. His ability to share the grace of Jesus Christ is like never, no other man on the face of the earth. But I got to hear a bit of the story of their church, because when I went and sat in it, I could make all sorts of assumptions about this church. Oh my gosh, this church must talk about money a lot and all of this prosperity stuff. But it was actually the opposite. They have this venue that's like QPAC in Brisbane. It actually seats 5,000 people. And they have 15,000 people come a week. And people drive for up to 4 hours from Malaysia to come to church to hear about Jesus. And we got to sit in on one of these services, and there was nothing flashy really about it. It was a man preaching the word of God, the truth of Jesus. It was amazing. I just went, this is the simplicity of the gospel, and look what God has done. Anyway, we went to lunch with this couple. They wanted to take us out. It was just, they wanted to host us, and Beck and I were like, okay, so we had lunch. And we were saying, tell us about that building. It's 7 stories high. It's a 4-story shopping center underneath, 3 stories of entertainment center, which every major band in the world uses for their concerts. And the church just happens to use it on Sundays, and they pump in, bump out. They had this vision for 14 years. They were like, we don't have a building. We don't have anywhere. And they kept on saying, we're going to keep looking. And an opportunity came up. And this opportunity was near the train station that they could build this building. And so they had a 50% co-investor who wanted to do the shopping side of things. And so Joseph brought the church together and said, we're going to have a miracle Sunday. I'm believing God's going to have a miracle, because we need to be able to take on board this opportunity. We won't get this opportunity again. It's an amazing one. Singapore is the most expensive real estate in the world, right? And so the building was going to cost $1 billion. $1 billion. And they had a miracle Sunday. They said, just come. And if you believe this is what God wants to do, you just come. You bring what you have. And in one weekend, they raised $500 million. After that, they built this whole shopping center. And then the people who owned the shopping center said, we actually don't want to... Do you want to buy it off us? So they did. So the church owns this entire thing, and they are a huge blessing in the community. They have got zero debt. Joseph Prince doesn't take a wage. He made that conviction before any of this stuff happened. In fact, God had called him and said, Joseph, I want you to trust me by faith. And he said, okay, I'm not going to take a wage. And then God downloaded some books to him, like just downloaded from heaven. He talks about writing, never written before, and God provided. It's quite impressive to see. And I was like, I need to lift my eyes. $12 million is nothing. It's nothing in God's kingdom. Psalm 24 says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. He provides everything. He owns everything. And when we step out in faith and go, I'm going to be part of what God wants to do, man, we can look back and look at the miracles that he's done. I just had to repent after being there and went, God, I need bigger vision. I know that you're in charge, but I need you to expand my vision. The things that gave me great joy, I came back to Josiah and Bella and said, you need to lift your vision for youth group, because they have 1,600 students in their youth group. They send 1,600 kids on a youth camp once a year for an entire week. They book out a resort in Malaysia. These resorts want them to come. They find it such a blessing, because these kids just bring life and joy. And so then after that, they send a young adults group off once a year, 1,800 18 to 25 year olds for a week of conference to spend time with Jesus. And they offset it all because they're so blessed and they're debt free and they can do it. And that's just the tip of the iceberg of what they're doing. And I go, why not Beacon? Why not? So this is where we're heading in the next 4 weeks. If God's stirring you up, hey, bring it on. That could be our church. Drive past and go, God, you're building our church. It's right there. And so I go, God, you do what you can do in our hearts. I'm going to pray right now. God, I thank you. I thank you for those that speak positively. God, I pray for two good men, two good spies, but multiply that to 200 good men, maybe 2,000 good men in the future that have the vision to see your work be done in Cleveland, in the Redlands. God, may this always be always about Jesus. The building is just a space to facilitate what you want to do, God. God, we've come so far. May we never forget the miracles that you've done in the past. May we never forget the miracles that you're doing right now and what you're going to do in the future. God, I pray that you stir in our hearts what you would have us do in this season, the stretch. God, if you're calling us to that building, if that's our building, let's take it. Let's take it in Jesus' name. God, but may we not be people that are so negative and get caught up in the fear of the giants in our lives that we miss the promises that you've had for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, we're going to stand up right now and we're going to declare the victory over this giant. I was thinking about this stuff when it comes to our church building. And I got to tell you, it's the giant for this church. And it's time to take the giant's head off. And so we're going to declare that God is going to do some miracles in this season. And he's going to show up and show off like only he can. And we're going to pray. We're going to sing. You have a wonderful Sunday. We'll see you next week. Can I encourage you, when it comes to that finance course with Ash Gulo, get along to it. Just so you know, he does it all voluntary, not 1 cent paid. Him and his wife give up their time and travel to churches to instill what God's instilled in their lives. Their testimony is phenomenal. Don't get caught up on all the finance people. They give and they give and they give, and that's why we get them, because they are such a blessing to the church. So get along to that next Saturday. Hey, let's sing. Have a blessed week. See you next week.
Listening to this week's podcast, we pray the message has inspired you. To connect with us further, visit beaconchurch.com.au.